Well, good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
And good morning, all of you in Facebook land this morning. We are back here at Kingdom School at Identity Church with a message teaching called Seasons, Time for a Change, Part 2. And so my name is Brad Gilman, and I'll be here next week again for Part 3. But before we get into this morning, I just want to give a plug out to Andy Elms. He has come here from the UK, and he's been blessing us. And if you haven't heard Andy from the UK, you might want to tune in this morning at 10 o'clock and listen to Andy, because he's an awesome preacher and an awesome man of God. There you go. Andy's imitating everybody, so I figured I'd give it a try to imitate Andy this weekend. But seriously, you should watch some of the videos on Identity Church on Facebook. Andy's done a great job, and he's continuing, and I'm really excited about his word this morning. So before we get into hearing Andy this morning at 10 o'clock, we'll start now talking about Seasons, Time for a Change. But I wanted to recap part one for those of you who didn't tune in or weren't here last week. And so we talked about Ecclesiastes 3:1. We talked about the Greek word for season, which is kairos. It looks like kairos if you spell it out. We did talk about that signs the season was changing. How would you know the season was changing? We talked about those signs. We talked about things in life that frequently change, like traffic lights, other things as well. We did talk about what would happen in our lives if we obeyed God and changed the things that He's telling us to change and allowed Him to move in our lives. And we talked about how you get released from a previous season. So today, we're going to go in a little different direction. A couple of things we're going to cover. We're going to cover some keys to leaving an old season and entering a new season. We're going to talk about root issues today. We're going to talk about spiritual house cleaning, one of Gary's favorite subjects, and because he teaches so well on it, and you do practice it as well through deliverance and ministry. We're going to talk about forgiveness, and we're going to talk what does true seasonal change look like. All right, so let's get started. So key number one today for changing your season is identifying the root issues. And what do I mean by that? I mean that when God says seasons change, door is open, yet we move forward, but we're still hanging on to something that is keeping us from truly embracing the new season. And that is where we have to look at our root issues. So our root issues block us from walking into the new season God has called us into. We bring old baggage with us into the new season. It's like when somebody gives you a key to an open door and you don't use it. And you stand at the door and you wait, yet the door has already been opened for you. And so what happens is we want God to move and do this new thing in our life, but we're left back in that old season. Has anybody ever felt like that, experienced that before?
Yes.
Want to share it with us, Ted?
Yeah.
Share a time like that with us.
Well, there was a time where we were doing ministry all the time and going and doing what we thought we were called to do. But it came out to be that we needed to get away from it, and the Lord was opening up a door for us to go through the door. But I stayed back there because I thought it was the right thing to do. And then to come to find out that it wasn't. And then you start going through some things that you see some hardships happening. You see how finances change. You see how things happen where, okay, I guess I'm doing something wrong here. So I was able to recognize it by getting some help, somebody coming and talking to me, and then I was able to say, okay, I need to shut that door 100% and go and do the right thing. So, amen. And then you start to see, then I started seeing the fruit after I left.
Amen.
So that's a good That's the best that I can say.
Thank you for sharing that with us. So let's talk about... Go ahead, Gary.
On Ted's experience, you said that you need to shut the door. Is that what we need to do? Is it just for me? Because I've been stuck in seasons. And I've been relying on God. Okay, God, if you want me to do the next season, shut the door. And I wouldn't take any effort of my own to shut the door, because I didn't want to, I wasn't really hearing clearly whether I should be there or here. So in that case, what do you do?
Well, if we're
going, do you go ahead and without a word and God shut the door, or you go, okay, there's some remnant over here that needs to be cleaned up. I don't know.
Yeah, well, we're co-laborers with him. So we really need to wait on the Lord. I mean, that's what we need to do. We need to make sure that it's him closing and opening doors and not us. When we close and open doors, we know that those doors are going to be a man. They're going to be a flesh as opposed to be of the Holy Spirit. So, you know, where I was going with this and what I wanted us to understand is when God has opened that door for us, yet we stay stuck. Right. In that old place,
yes.
Because we don't understand who we are, because of root issues such as rejection, shame, low self-worth, emptiness. I had an opportunity to interview for a position that I didn't think I was qualified for. Well, what does Jesus do? He qualifies the unqualified, right?
Amen.
Okay.
That's good work.
Yeah, but my old thinking prevented me for a while from sending a resume because I thought that I'm not qualified for this. And God is going to me, I'm trying to bless you. I'm trying to get you to walk into something new, and you only want to go where you're comfortable.
Mm. Worthiness coming out.
Yeah. Did what?
Yeah. Worthiness.
Worthiness, yes. Yeah.
You're not worthy to receive the open door because you don't understand who you are in Christ. You have an identity issue. Right?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, which, again, all goes to these root issues, and it's so important that we get down to the bottom of our root issues, not just so we can walk through an open door, but just so that we can walk along with Christ the way he's called us to walk around with him. You know, these rejection, shame, low self-worth, emptiness, all of these keep us from, and there's so many more, but all of the ones I mentioned keep us from, you know, truly walking with him, keep us from knowing our identity, keep us from understanding about who we're called. I finally woke up, it was about a week after I had seen that job posted, and I finally woke up and I said to the Lord, I said, you're waiting for me to apply for this, aren't you, God? And he says, I am, and watch what happens when you do. And I was like, okay, I understand, I get it. And what I realized, though, was is I didn't think, you know, that I was worth it. I didn't think that I could do this. I was like, this is a stretch. So if we go along in life in anything, whether it's work, whether it's ministry, just doing what we've been taught, just doing what we know at that point, we've missed out where God is trying to take us into greater things. You have something else?
Just thinking about that, about, okay, God, yes, I'll put that resume in. If you came back and you didn't get the job, where would you be?
I probably would sit there and go, at least I put forth the effort.
Yeah.
And that's where we would hope we would be.
Right.
The point I'm trying to make is when that door opens and you're obedient to God, don't look for the end results, because God just wants maybe to say, okay, I want you to do this so you know who you are.
Do it in faith.
I know. Do it in faith. Whether don't worry about the end result.
Yeah. That's good.
Because most of us would go, oh, man, did I really hear from God?
Come
if
on.
If I really heard God, I would have got the job. No, he didn't say you're going to get the job. He said,
do it.
Put the resume in.
Right.
Well, and good for you.
And trust.
Watch what I'll do. Yeah. That doesn't mean you're going to get the job.
Exactly. Right.
He could be doing something internally.
Right. And that could be the dress rehearsal for something even bigger.
Right.
That I might have missed.
Right.
That I might have missed. You know, I think of a story when we talk about this and about really having to have faith and trust God. And I was sitting with a friend of mine a couple of years ago, and I used to wear an uncut key around my neck that was given to me, because you know what an uncut key is? It's a master key, right? It opens. It can open the doors. So I was sitting with a friend of mine, and I had this key around my neck, and I heard God say to give it to him, and I was like, Lord, he's a Lutheran pastor. I don't think he'll understand what this key is about. And I heard the Lord say, you need to give him your key. So I handed him my key. I pulled it off my chain and I handed it to him. I said, She said, a master key. I said, this is a master key to the kingdom. I said, it's an uncut key for you. I said, and he looked at me and he said to me, he goes, all right, he goes, what you don't know is I've been asking God for a key. He said, yet I've been asking God for a healing in my body in an area. And because you gave me the key, I'll share with you what I haven't shared with anybody else other than my wife. He says, I have a mass in my chest, he said, and they're concerned about it. And I said, okay, let me pray with you right now. So I prayed with him, and then he went back to the doctor. They could never find it.
Wow.
I was like, thank you, Jesus. But why? It came out of that obedience to give that key. That showed him, that was a sign for him that his season had shifted, that his season had changed. Now, I didn't understand a bit of what that was about, but we have to be obedient. So if we're still dealing with all our root issues, I'll tie this back to root issues. If we're still dealing with all our root issues, we might not be able to hear enough or have enough confidence that we are hearing God. I like to talk about when we don't truly hear God, it's not because we don't know his voice, it's because we have cotton in our ears. And I talk about that all the time. And it's like sometimes I'll ask people to pray for me, I'll ask them to take the cotton out of my ears for me. Because sometimes I can't get them out myself. That's why we're supposed to be accountable to each other and walk one another so that we are thinking that we're hearing God, but we're not, we're missing it, somebody can come along and take that cotton out of our ears for us and help us, you know, and help us say, hey, that's not God. Go read your word. That doesn't line up with anything in the word of God. And that's the most important thing is that when we start to talk about this, that we line up with the word of God. It's really interesting. So going back to keys, I was in North Carolina and Tennessee recently, and somebody gave me an antique key. So they didn't know I've been praying for this and asking God for this for a long time. But they heard God say to give me this key and give me a key to the region. And the people who gave it to me have the authority to do that. But, you know, they were just obedient to God. They didn't understand what this would mean to me. They still don't know what this means to me. I think not to the extent. They will at some point. But this was a big deal for me. And I'm thankful, though, that people heard enough to hand me that key and say, hey, this is what we're supposed to do. You know, I struggled my whole life with rejection. And I had to get to the root issue of where that came from. And, you know, everybody was like, oh, your dad left when he was six, and it came from this, and it came from that, and this and that. A part of it came from that. Now, I've long since forgiven my dad, and he's in heaven, so let's clear the air there. But I love my dad. He was an amazing man. And I tell you what, that key, though, you know, goes back to the root issue. The guy who gave me that key is a father, okay? He's a father in the faith. He's not a spiritual father of mine, but he's a father. But everybody said, hey, well, this root issue came in when you were six and your dad left, or five when your dad left. I said, actually, it didn't. It came in at 18, or it was 19 when I graduated high school. And my dad said to me, he goes, you should go work at the post office. You'll never amount to anything else in life. And there's nothing wrong with the post office. But I was going to college and I was going to go do this. And he says this to me at my high school graduation. And that was the biggest time of rejection in my life, even more than him leaving, because I saw him all throughout my childhood. But that moment, those words messed my life up for so long. And I'm not pointing the finger at him, but because it broke something in me. And until I finally started to understand that, listen, every time I still deal with rejection as I get promoted on new levels, it rears its ugly head and I have to learn how to grow at that new point as the new me learns about dealing with that. But it doesn't take me out today. It used to take me out. That root issue kept me from moving into so many different seasons. So a root issue kept me moving into so many different seasons, and I couldn't understand it. It's like every time I would get ready to walk through a new open door, I would like murder myself, and I didn't understand why. And when I finally realized where that root was, there I was able to get some healing, get some deliverance ministry, and really get down to the bottom of what was causing me to do that.
Now, you can take that back to, because the question then you asked is, do I qualify?
Right.
Mm-hmm. That word curse was spoken over you. Yep. You don't qualify.
Right.
So you're still dealing with the root of a word curse.
Absolutely.
We need to take care of that.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
Amen.
Yeah, if you need deliverance ministry, those two are the two of the ones you go see.
We take care of that.
Yep. Amen. All right, so recently, so my dad passed about a year ago. My dad passed away, went to heaven. Last Father's Day, I went into a open vision the day after Father's Day. I thought I was dreaming all night, and I realized that I was in an open vision in heaven with my dad. It's interesting because so often that God wants to change things in your life, and he'll use open visions, dreams, prophets, whatever, everything else than what you see here on earth. And it was like so many of the questions from life got answered that night in that open vision that I had had. And so many, and when I woke up though the next day, I said, well, God, what's going to change? And the Lord's like, everything's going to change. You just have to open your eyes and be open to it. And as I opened my eyes, I started to go through some very drastic changes that week, and they're still happening. And just start, and they were the start of it. But it's like, you know, God loves us so much that, you know, he wants to shower us. He wants to do, you know, to take us in open visions. He wants that. But the problem is we've got to get and deal with these root issues so we even believe that we're worthy enough to experience that. I woke up in the morning and I was like, I'm the most blessed man on this planet. I'm like, I got questions answered that I've wanted answered my whole life last night. But not only that, but it's like, it was like a healing that took place. And, you know, when your dad looks at you and says to you, had you not written your book, I wouldn't be here. And we would have never seen each other again. You weep. And God, you know, God is with those root issues. We've really got to drill down and deal with them. And I would challenge any Christian who is not dealing with their root issues to go deal with them. It's painful. It's not fun. But we've got to deal with them. Because if we don't, we're going to miss the seasonal change that God has for us. Do you have something, Gary?
Well, we were just talking to some people from Tommy's church last night on an issue that they're having. And one of the things that God showed me last night was, even though we've been doing this ministry 25, 30 years, is you talk about root issues. I mean, that root issues, it's the deep, that's the stronghold.
Yep.
What let the stronghold in? It's not going after the root issue. That's what I told him to do. It says, go find out what the lie was.
There you go.
You had the root issue.
Right.
I think it was the father.
Right.
But the lie was, you're never
going to be good enough.
And there, right. You took care of the lie.
Right.
And once you take care of the lie, the root issue has nothing to hold on to.
Yes. That's a great word. Thanks for sharing.
So always go for the lie. If you're dealing with anything from emotion, even emotional healing, it's go for the lie, reveal the lie, and you've opened the door to where the root issue can, you know, will be.
Well, even when you say the word root issue, some people can think, well, I don't know that I have an issue.
Yeah.
But when you look at your life, what things always do I tend to struggle with? What little things tweak me, irk me, irritate me? Right there is a root issue.
And so there you have identity again, because the minute you see, okay, I believe this, and it's not in alignment with the word, so you come into agreement with a lie. You can take the word and say, okay, this is who I am, and then as you work at it, you change who you know you are, but you also get free of that stronghold.
That's right.
I've learned when I've started to not see things come together, there was no fruit. So you got to make a change to see, okay, there's the fruit again. Now the fruit's coming back.
Yeah,
so.
But when there's no fruit, there's a lie there that you're believing. And that's what Gary's talking about, Karen are talking about.
Right.
You've got to get down to what that lie is that you're believing.
That's good. That's good.
Not man. Also because what happened whenever Jesus walked along and saw the fig tree, there was fruit on there.
Right.
Yeah.
Bad
fruit.
Season.
Right.
It wasn't supposed to. It wasn't
so
season
for fruit. Cursed it to the root.
Cursed it to the root.
Right.
Yeah.
It's like if you ever go bite into a sour grape.
It's out of season.
Yeah.
curse it to the root.
A sour grape still looks like a good grape.
Yeah,
you don't know until you bite into it, or bad
oranges too,
or a bad a bad eggplant.
Yes.
You don't know until you cook it and you taste it and it's bitter.
Yes.
Yeah.
The Lord just taught me that about seasons. He gave me a vision 2 years ago, and I got a little discouraged about it. I mean, it was exact, like to a map, to the scriptures, the utterances. And I was like, God, and actually Tommy's book, The In-Between Place, helped me. And you were talking about deliverance in the root. I tried for 50 years to quit smoking. Patches, gum, I'd be smoking, I'd take that patch off. Nothing worked. 3 months ago, the Lord said to me, He gave me the root issue and the lie. I used to steal the cigarettes. He says, you repent from that, and I'm going to meet you right there.
Wow.
I repented. 2 days later, He said, okay, now's the time. I put him down. I ain't had an urge or a cigarette. Not even on the 7-hour drive up here yesterday. I had a 30-second urge, but...
Amen.
But I had to get to that root. I didn't know what the root was, and the root was is when I started smoking, I was stealing them. I repented for that. And the Lord said, lay him down, because that was a big issue. I mean, he took me off of a lot of stuff and moved me from a lot of places. But once I put them cigarettes down, now people are looking at me, oh, that's by God. And the way I say
it.
The way I say it is I'm not, I quit smoking. The Lord's delivered me from smoking.
Amen.
And that's how
I
got
high five on that.
Yep.
Yeah.
Amen.
I got like so excited about it. I told everybody about it. So.
Amen. And you should, because that's.
Yes.
That.
Yes. And as I didn't quit, God delivered me from it.
If He can do it for you, He can do it again.
Amen.
So let me finish this part of the section up with a. With a story from this week. So I got to a hotel this week I was staying in. I was out traveling. And I had a lot of driving, so I made sure I reserved a room that had a jacuzzi in it, because sometimes with the indoor ones with the pool and stuff, they're not really hot. But, you know,
right.
If you have it in the room. So I was like, so I get in the room, and I get all excited. Yeah, and I get all excited, and I go turn on the jacuzzi, and the water doesn't come on. And I'm sitting there going, all right, God, you're going to get a little, is this you laughing at me? What is this? And so as I realized that the water didn't come on, I put my clothes back on. I called down to the desk, and I said, hey, guess what? The jacuzzi's not working in the room. She says, oh, I'll send maintenance up. And I said, okay. About 5 minutes later, she calls me back. She says, well, maintenance isn't coming. That one's not working. So I was like, oh, gosh, here we go again. So I called her. I said, why didn't you all tell me this when I checked in? She goes, well, we just found out 10 minutes ago. I had checked in 30 minutes ago. And I wasn't believing that lie, okay? I knew it was, and I was sitting there, and I said, all right, God, just lead me in what's going on here, because I understood that there was something else going on other than this about the jacuzzi. So anyway, I get the manager on the phone. Long story short, I get the manager on the phone. They said, well, give me 15,000 bonus points. I get the manager on the phone, and they said they had no other jacuzzi rooms that were working or available in the hotel. And I said, okay. And I just didn't. So he says to me, he goes, you know what? I got a room up on the fifth floor, but it's a smoking room. He goes, let's go see if it works for you. Maybe somebody hasn't smoked in it. And I said, oh, all right, we'll try. So we go up there, and we walk in. It's just terrible. It's just somebody who had been in there had been smoking in there. So he had some ionizing machine set up. He goes, see that machine right there? I said, yeah. He goes, in 3 hours, he goes, that room will smell fresh again. And I said, okay, but I don't want to wait 3 hours for another room. I'd rather just forego the jacuzzi. He goes, no, no. I'm going to bump somebody out of the other room, put them in this room that's going to be fresh in 3 hours. There's favor for you, and put you in that room that has a jacuzzi that works. And I already went to make sure it works. And I said to him, by the way, what I had asked him before was, when I was in the second floor, is, can we just turn on the water and not the jets? And he said, the problem was, and they should have told you this, is that it was leaking into the lobby. And I said, okay. I said, so, all right, so it's not the jets, it's the water issue, the piping issue. So anyway, they moved me up to this room, and they moved me to room 514. Now, understand something. 5 weeks ago, I stayed at this exact hotel in room 514, and God started a process about some changes in my life.
Wow.
And then he puts me back in 514 again this week. And the Lord said, I started the process. The doors are now open. I want you to do this, 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 and this while you're in this room. Send this email, write this letter, do this, mark this down. And as I did that, and after I left the hotel, the next day the door started to open. You know, we have to sometimes push through it. I can tell you, I was sitting there, and part of me said, you know what? who cares? I don't need to call down to the desk and make a big deal about this room not working. But there was something in my spirit that said, this isn't right.
Called rage.
Nah, it wasn't rage. No, it wasn't. I was calm. I know. No. But I know rage, but it wasn't rage. It wasn't rage. I was calm as a cucumber about it.
Sixes are hip, man.
Yeah. It was a Hampton Inn, actually. But, yeah. Hey, I grew up, I started my career on the road in Motel Sixes and Red Roof Inns, so I've graduated a little bit. But just to see how God can take a situation that I could have said nothing about it, but I said, you know what, you're doing something here, and I recognize that you're doing something and wanting to do something. Little did I know that I would be back in room 514 again, and I sat in room 514. I had the best sleep that night. It was a great experience, and the bathtub was nice and hot. It felt really good on my back.
But you have a heart that wants to do what God wants you to do.
Yes.
And so you're open to them.
Right. And I have a spirit of excellence, too, where I'm not just going to be satisfied when I hear something that I know isn't true. I'm going to challenge people. And sometimes I get people don't like me because I'll challenge them on stuff like that. I mean, you can talk to many a hotel manager or front desk person that I've challenged them and pushed them. You know, stop. Don't just give me a status quo answer. Don't just give me an easy way out. Just tell me the truth. Let's, you know, this is an opportunity for us to shine. And that's, you know, and so that's what, it was really an opportunity for Jesus to shine, not for Brad to shine. And that was the most awesome part about it. And so when I got up the next morning and left, I was rested. And the Lord's like, you needed your rest. You have 8 hours of driving to do today. And I was in the Northeast and it's cold. And I have some issues with my back. And so cold in my back just don't do well together. But it was like God was blessing me. But let me just give you a scripture on from Jeremiah. Jeremiah 17, 9 and 10 from the Message. The heart is hopelessly dark and deceitful, a puzzle that no one can figure out. But I, God, search the heart and examine the mind. I get to the heart of the human. I get to the root of things. I treat them as they really are, not as they pretend to be. What's that say? It says he treats us and our heart the way he sees us, not the way we see ourselves.
Thanks, God.
All right, so let's go to key number two. Kind of goes into root, but spiritual house cleaning. We all need this. Cleaning your house spiritually, soul ties, generational curses, ungodly beliefs, spirits, demons, believing lies, root issues, all of that. I'll go to Luke 11, 24 through 25. When an unclean spirit goes out of a man, he goes through dry places seeking rest and finding none. He says, I will return to my house from which I came. And when he comes, he finds it swept and put in order. Then he goes and takes with him seven other spirits more wicked than himself, and they enter and dwell there. And the last state of the man is worse than the first. Gary, you and I have talked about this numerous times. Please share some insight with us on this.
Well, anytime, what we've learned in deliverance is one, you never do a deliverance on an unbeliever because of this verse right here. Now, the only time that we would do deliverance on an unbeliever if it's stopping them from giving their life to Christ. But what happens is once you swept the temple, swept clean, it's going to be filled back up. It's going to be filled back up by praise and prayer and the word and love. And that way, your temple is so full, nothing can come in. But if it's empty, and you don't do the process, you don't praise God, you aren't in the Word, you can still be a Christian. They're coming back. The Word doesn't say anything about if you're a believer or not.
Right.
So most people say, I'm a Christian, how can I have demons? We won't go into that one, but that right there would tell you, say, hey, it's
you
empty. That's all,
you want.
That's all Satan wants to know. It's empty. Go get them, guys. There's something stronger. Believe me, we've experienced people that come back seven stronger than you. And their life is horrible. But you just have to be obedient when we go through a deliverance and really, really understand this is not stuff that you just play around with. Okay, I'm free. Let's go and do the same thing. Let's go out and do it again. You know, let's go out and it's got to be a life-changing event. Share anything?
When you're unwilling to clean your house,
come on,
you leave the door open,
yes,
for exactly what we just talked about.
Amen.
And when you leave open doors, you prevent yourself from walking into the new season.
Yep.
Because those open doors, as soon as you'll take two
yep.
steps forward and three steps backwards.
Yep.
And it all comes down to, you know, I said, what happens when we leave our house unclean with soul ties, generational curses, ungodly beliefs, spirits, demons? We prevent ourselves from walking into that next season. We prevent ourselves from being used in the way God wants to use us.
Yep.
You know, I think it's looked upon, there's two things I hear when I hear about deliverance all the time is it's intimidating. So people will say, well, I don't want to go through that. I'm a little scared to go through that. And then the other thing I hear about all the time is it's spooky. It's weird. Because, you know, I had a guy, we were talking about deliverance the other day on the road, and a Christian guy, and we were talking about deliverance. And he said to me, he goes, man, I don't want to get thrown in some bathtub and like have some exorcism type of thing. And that's, you know, but he doesn't know. I mean, the church he goes to doesn't teach anything about deliverance. He doesn't understand it. So there's a preconceived idea. And he says, you know, I've watched some YouTube videos, and I'm like, oh, good Lord Jesus. But it's, you know, and I said to him, and he said to me, he goes, but what is that when I watch those YouTube videos? I said, part of me would say abuse of the gift, but that's not even a use of a gift, so I won't even go there. I said, but along with other spiritual gifts as well, we do have abusive gifts. We do have, but what people don't know could be weird or spooky. And I think Andy last night was talking about, I seem to remember he was talking about us, the Holy Spirit not being weird and not being spooky. And, you know, and that's where I think some of us miss it. So my only encouragement to everybody in talking about changes and changing your season and getting out of that old season is be willing to submit to some house cleaning. Be willing to submit to some deliverance.
Come on.
I've been through it. My wife's been through it. So many of you here have been through it. And when God does that, it's life-changing. It changes the things that need to be changed in your life. It changes. It takes you to a new place. It heals the wounds. You stop believing the lies. But it's a roadblock for going forward. You know, when that house is unclean, it is a serious roadblock from going forward. And we have to make sure. And, you know, listen, most of the time, I remember I preached at one church, and I preached there like two years in a row. And one year I prayed for people, and we did deliverance ministry. And everything we cast out, the next year when I was back, I had to cast the same stuff out of the same
yes.
people. And I was frustrated, and I said to the pastor, and when we got done that day, as I said, I love you, and I'm willing to come here and minister deliverance. And I said, but you got to preach on open doors, man. You got to get in your people's lives. You have to get relational with them and start calling some stuff out, or I'm going to be back here next year doing the exact same thing I did today.
It's like what I talk to the people in North Carolina. It's just, if there's no love, don't do it.
Mm-hmm.
Don't even think about it.
You know that one scripture that I work with a lot of girls, and I'm street ministry, and they'll hear that scripture, resist the devil and he will flee. Well, the first part of it says, submit to God, resist the devil. And
yes, right.
I said, how much submitting are you doing? Are you on your face in the carpet? Are you seeking God? Because once the stuff's good, they got to walk it out. You're right about that. They got to get filled up. You can get someone delivered, and if they don't have no word or no teaching or no praise going on, they're just going right back. So they just take these one scriptures out, pull it out, and try to use it. It doesn't work like that.
Right.
Well,
the
enemy will use the fear.
Uh-huh.
You said, you know, this guy you were talking to that was like, oh, I don't want it to look like this.
Right.
And that right away, when you think about it, that's a spirit of fear.
Right.
Spirit.
Yes.
Of fear.
Right. Not mm-hmm. spirit of God, not Holy
right.
Spirit, but spirit of fear.
Yeah.
The opposite of faith.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Let's go on to key number three. I want to get key three in, and we're running low on time. Forgiveness. Unforgiveness will keep you in your old season.
Yes.
Unforgiveness will keep you from moving forward. So when I talk about forgiveness, who should we forgive? First, ourselves.
Yeah.
Let's start there. Second, people who have hurt you. Pastors, bosses, people who stole from you. I had a guy who stole a lot of money from me years ago. And I went to take him to court after I got saved, and God wouldn't let me take him to court. And and so when I say stole, let's qualify that. I loaned him $5,000, never paid me back. That's stealing. So it's anyway, went to take him to court, and God said no. About 3 years after being saved, I got a check in the mail from him in a postcard, in a card. And the card said, "Hey, man, I got saved, and I'm so sorry about how I treated you. Here's $1,500. I hope you'll forgive the rest of the debt. Please forgive me." And he's like, "Hope you're doing well. And if you don't know Jesus, please give me a call." And I wrote him back, "I know Jesus. I forgive you. I love you. Debt forgiven. Thank you for the check." And but it's, you know, but what happens when, you know, when we forgive people?
I mean, get
free. Right.
We get free.
Right. Mark 11:25. "Whenever you stand praying, if you have anything against anyone, forgive him, that your Father in heaven may also forgive your trespasses."
Yes.
I have a story about that.
That's good.
Okay. We'll get to just this. So, you know, think about that, though. That unforgiveness can keep you from moving forward.
Yes.
I want to share the story, and then I want you to share yours. I have... I'm watching some things happen at my job right now, and I'm watching some people act in ways that I've never seen them act before. And so God is showing me things about them, though, and putting me spiritually in their shoes so that I can understand what they're going through. So that when they say and do stupid things, it's very easy to forgive them, but it also puts me in a place to pray for them.
Yeah.
You'll never get out of your season if you can't pray for the ones who are hurting you in that season, or pray for
that's
the ones who are saying the things that they shouldn't be saying. Gary, go for it.
When I was back in Colorado, I ran a roofing business for a guy. And at the end of the season, he owed me $17,000, and he didn't pay me. So I was really upset. So I called Lance, who was our administrative Lance, what am I going to do? He goes, "Go to him, ask for his forgiveness." I went, "What? What do you mean?
Ask for my $17,000.
Yeah, I want my $17,000. I don't want to ask him. I didn't do it. He's the one that did it." He says, "Gary, go ask for his forgiveness." I said, "For what, Lance?" "It's because you have bitterness in your heart." And I went, "Oh." I went and asked for forgiveness from him, his bride, and his children. And I didn't get the $17,000 back. You know what I got back?
Peace.
Peace. Praise God.
So,
you were able to move forward.
Yes. Not only should you forgive them, but if you have bitterness or anything in your heart,
come on,
you have to ask for forgiveness from them.
Yes.
So that's a good lesson I learned.
Amen.
Amen. I'm going to read you a couple scriptures, and then we're going to end here shortly. Daniel 2:21, "And he changeth the times and the seasons. He removeth kings and setteth up kings. He giveth wisdom unto the wise and knowledge to them that know understanding." Galatians 6:9, "And let us not be weary in well doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not." Psalms 104:19. "He appointed the moon for seasons. The sun knoweth his going down." Genesis 1:14. "And God said, let there be light in the firmament of the heaven to divide the day from the night, and let them be for signs and for seasons and for days and years." All right, so everything has its time. To everything there is a season, a time for every purpose under heaven.
Amen.
We just have to figure out which is God's and follow his and not ours. You know, signs of the seasons changing. The changing of seasons should be as distinct as changing of seasons in the natural. As I pulled through the mountains this week, as I drove through the mountains of Pennsylvania, I saw that the leaves had changed their colors. You know, when God changes our season, it should be as evident as the leaves changing our colors. We should know, and everybody around us should be able to see that our season has changed.
Amen.
If not, we've got to go back to God and say, what am I missing here?
Yeah.
What have we not done here that we should be seeing? I'll leave you with this. God knows when things are changing and sends us the Holy Spirit and signs that a season is changing. It's our job to recognize them.
Amen.
So thank you, everybody, for being here this morning. Thank you, everybody, on Facebook for tuning in. We'll be back next week with Seasons, Time for a Change, Part 3. And join us in about 15 minutes for our service at Identity Church.
Thank you for tuning in to today's message from Identity Church. To know more about us, go to identitychurch.net, where you'll find resources such as a calendar, media, and upcoming events. You can also download an app for your mobile device from the Apple App Store or Google Play. Then from your mobile device, you can hear our messages, read the Bible, take notes, connect with us on social media, and even pay your tithe. Again, thank you for tuning into Identity Sunday Morning Message, where sonship is revealed. Have a blessed day.